now. Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 11th day of February 2019. And I am so delighted today that we have, for the very first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Audrey Werner. She is a guest subsequent to the urging of a faithful listener of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Texas, Maggie Conley. And we thank Maggie for making such an excellent recommendation. Audrey Werner is Dean of Life Issues and Professor at Masters International University of Divinity, President and Founder of the Matthew 18 Group, a purity paradigm for our homes, churches, and nation, a former sex educator and STD, which is sexually transmitted disease, clinic nurse, a purity speaker for the Life Talk Crisis Pregnancy Center, national speaker for RSVP America, and sex education expert for the American Academy of Biblical Counselors. Today we are going to be addressing Alfred Kinsey, sexual deviant and architect of the sex education curriculum for America's children. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Audrey Werner.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor and a privilege.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you on, especially on this very vital topic that many of our listeners who may be totally unaware of some of this disturbing information that we're going to be presenting today. First of all, before we go into the subject at hand, tell us about the Masters International University of Divinity.
Masters International University of Divinity is one of the first Christian online colleges that came into existence. They're coming up on celebrating their 20th year. We have 3,000 students right now that are enrolled, mainly pastors, biblical counselors, crisis pregnancy staff from all over the world. I have the honor and the privilege to teach one of my courses. It's called Restoring Biblical Purity in the Church. So I have spoken across the country, and one of my wishes was to be able to share this material on Christian campuses, because many Christian campuses are covering human sexuality, but they're meshing scripture with the false science, and we'll get into that, I know, more today on Alfred Kinsey. And so someone had suggested I check out Masters, and it turns out the president had been praying for a course just like that for over a year. So totally God orchestrated, and wonderful online college.
And tell us about the Matthew 18 Group.
Okay, the Matthew 18 Group is an organization that I started. It's an offshoot of the RSVP America campaign, which stands for Restoring Social Virtue and Purity to America. It was a campaign that began in the early 1990s, and it went until 2004. During that time, Eunice Ray was the founder, along with her husband, Colonel Ron Ray, who was the former assistant to the Secretary of Defense under the Reagan administration. And they found that Kinsey's science was fraudulent, so they wanted to prove that. and to also show that a majority of our laws in the sex offense section, laws that made abortion legal, pornography legal, sex education legal, were all based on Kinsey science. So through all of that, they went to the different legislators and went state to state, went to D.C., and tried to wake up legislators to that fact. So there's now published materials out on that, and the proof is out there. It's just a matter of people acting on that truth.
Well, thank you so much for being of such invaluable service to not only the body of Christ, but to the world. And, well, before we go into the theme, typically when I have a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I have them provide a summary of their salvation testimony, what type of religious atmosphere, if any, they were raised in, and what providential circumstances did God raise up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I know that you were raised in a Lutheran home, but I know also that there was a period in your life where you did not take Christ, his gospel, and his word as seriously as you do now. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was raised in a Lutheran home. I went to Lutheran schools, Lutheran grade school, Lutheran high school. Of course, I was baptized as an infant, went through confirmation in my junior high years, and that's where we, you know, instead of as infants, we can't affirm our faith. So during confirmation, we can affirm our faith. So I knew all about God. I knew about the Bible, but I guess I had never really read it intently. And, you know, once I went on to college, and that kind of went by the wayside. And it wasn't until I did marry a Lutheran first grade school teacher, and he was the youth director at the church where I was attending. And we had a bump in our marriage. We had a separation that occurred a couple of years into our marriage, and it was a huge wake-up call for me. And God put a wonderful older, wiser woman in my path who was was the first grade school teacher at the Lutheran school where I had attended. And she really brought me to educate me on spiritual warfare. And just through that, the power of prayer, she had a prayer group. And so I was surrounded by some Christian ladies and just had face-to-face experience with God, and was on fire for him. So I've been a fighter for truth. I have, as a matter of fact, my husband and I have said there's no hopeless marriage because we know God is a God of hope. And anyway, through that, I have stood for truth. And that's kind of where this ministry that Matthew 18 began, was in a Lutheran church and a Lutheran church school, where my oldest son was in kindergarten and was about to enter that Lutheran school, which happened to have been the Lutheran school I had attended, and through that found that Kinsey was in the Lutheran sex ed. So that began the ministry of sitting with Eunice Ray and Eunice saying, okay, RSVP America has been going into the legislators. We need a group that's going to wake up the church and, you know, have it be based on Matthew 18, 15 to 17. Which is if your brother's sinning, you go to them. If they don't listen, you take someone else. And if that doesn't work, you go take it to the church. Well, what if the entire body of Christ is in error? That's an overwhelming, daunting task. But again, God can use the fool, and he usually uses the weak and the small. So here I am, and that's what my ministry is about, is waking up the church to the reliance of Kinsey science in some of our teaching.
Now, I know that there is a broad spectrum of belief amongst those who profess to be Lutheran. You have the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you have the Wisconsin Synod, and other groups that are more conservative and biblically based and scripturally orthodox. And then you have groups that I would consider apostate, totally outside the realm of biblical Christendom. Those, I'm not saying that everyone in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America is in that category, but I am convinced many are. So I was just curious where you are coming from as far as Lutheran denomination.
Yeah, I'm coming from one of the larger ones, the Missouri Synod. Great. Lutheran. Yes.
Great. But you were saying just a moment ago that this Kinsey-based curriculum was existing in the Lutheran church schools. Which denomination?
Well, this was actually, this is the, it's called the Learning About Sex series, and it was in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Really?
The one developed it, yes. And it was developed in the late 1960s. And again, I preface this with, and when I speak, wherever I speak, I always preface this with, Kinsey is in all denominations. It's not just the Lutheran Church. You will find his teachings in many of the writings of many, you know, again, going to, back to the bibliographies in our books and in our sex education series, finding out on whose authority are people standing on. So for the Learning About Sex series, I went back to the older writings. There's a book called Sex and the Church that was written in early 1960s. And in that, the Lutheran pastors were talking about Kinsey science. And they said, you know, it is kind of controversial, but because it is so large, we can't ignore the data. So that became the foundation for the Learning About Sex series, which then came out in 1967. And in their in the parent book, they even quote Alfred Kinsey's statistics directly. So I was kind of alarmed and shocked at that. They also quote Alan Guttmacher from the Guttmacher Institute, who was the former medical director of Planned Parenthood, as well as Lester Kirkendall, who was the president of the American Humanist Association.
Wow.
And even in the teen book, which was called Life Can Be Sexual, they encouraged the youth to read a book by Hugh Hefner.
What? Oh, sorry for laughing, but that is mind-boggling.
I know.
Well, before we go any further with our live interview, I want to play the audio of a meeting that was held on January 16th in Texas. It was a legislative briefing for the Texas Republican state representatives and their staffs, and you spoke there, and I'm going to play the audio of your entire presentation, which is about 15 minutes. It's such an important presentation that I didn't want to merely rely upon my memory, which is failing me more and more the older I grow. I wanted to make sure.
It will give your listeners a good background on Kinsey, Alfred Kinsey, and what's the problem.
Yes. So here is that presentation. So sit back, absorb the information, take notes, and we will be back with our live discussion momentarily.
It's ironic that 20 and a half years ago, I was serving on a curriculum review committee on sex education in a Lutheran school. And I had to get up for 15 minutes and talk about why I thought their Christian sex ed program was bad and had a bad foundation. And little did I know, 20 and a half years later, that I would be standing up here to do 15 minutes to you, and I'm very honored by that. Let me share with you, I do not have my slides in front of me right now, so I will kind of look up inside. They're back home. But I can kind of do this in my sleep. My background is I was a sex educator for 5 years. It was through the public health department. We were school nurses, so as part of our job, we went in and talked to the kids about sex. We were told parents aren't doing their job, so you got to go in there and do it for them. I thought, okay, at that point I was newly married, didn't have any children, and I thought, I could do this. I can help out parents. And they said, you're going to hear this lie out there that if you go and talk to kids about sex, that you're going to increase the pregnancy rate and the STD rate, and that's just simply not true. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. So I did that for 5 years, and then we were blessed with our first child. Pardon me? Yeah, I can see it. blessed with our first child, and I wanted to work still for the health department, but I wanted to work part-time. Well, the only part-time job available was working in the STD clinic. I really don't want to do genital exams on people, but okay, if that's getting me to stay home with my baby and still work at the health department, I'll do it. So I did it, and it's as if the Lord said, I want you to see the fruit of your labor. And that is where my eyes were open. This is what I viewed. We were talking about what happened, and this is my view from an STD nurse. And I'm going to call it sexually transmitted disease because we've changed it to infection. Because, gosh, everybody gets infections, and you can just put a Band-Aid on that, and that's not a problem. Yeah. Whereas a disease is a problem.
That's
and we need to address it. So what I saw was when I started in 1991, typical age of first sexual contact would have been 16 or 17. That was very, very common. By the time I left in 1999, it was not uncommon to hear 10 years old being first sexual contact. Now, I'm not saying that's consensual, but that was not uncommon. Something else that we, believe it or not, back in 1991, there still was shame and guilt associated with having sex outside of marriage. And then by 1999, no shame and guilt whatsoever. The other thing we noticed, very interesting, in the mid-1990s, we saw date rape explode. And I thought, where is this coming from? Am I the only nurse that's seeing this? And all the other nurses said, no, we're seeing this. Well, I saw a documentary on pornography about 10 years later, and during the Clinton administration, they had taken all the restrictions off the porn industry, and that's the first time we saw the first big explosion in pornography. And I know some states are passing where it's a public health crisis. I can tell you from the STD nurse perspective, we saw the direct correlation between pornography exposure and date rape. There is a direct correlation between them. The other thing that we did was, of course, as an AIDS counselor, I was the one who had to tell somebody for the first time that they were HIV positive. Now, obviously, most of the time I did that with gay men. But there were a few times when, toward 1999, we were telling teen girls that they were HIV positive. Something that we do in the STD clinic is if there's an alleged rapist, he is ordered by the judge to come in and get an HIV test. So we would then have to test him. Now, HIV results are so confidential, you cannot share that with their partner, anyone else. This is the one time if they're caught, if they're found guilty of that crime, you can share those results with the victim. Now, when we started this, we were doing this test on adult men. By the time I left, and I know you had talked about children raping children, we were doing this test on 10-year-old boys who had raped 2- and 4-year-old girls.
Oh my gosh.
And clearly we saw there's a problem. It's getting worse. And I think the thing for my husband was a youth pastor, and he was dealing with the teenagers as well. And I think the thing that bothered both of us was there was no difference between the Christian kid and the non-Christian kid. Something's going on. So as the researcher, I wanted to know, why is this not getting better? Why is this getting worse? So I want you to look at these graphs. This is STD rates for gonorrhea ages 10 to 14. You're going to notice across the board, it's very, very low. Look at the years there. Something happened in 62, 63, 64, and then we see an explosion. This is national statistics, by the way. Go to the next slide. Birth rates to unwed girls, 15 to 19 years old. Again, 62, 63, 64. Mm-hmm. Something happened in that time. Next slide. Pregnancies to unwed girls under the age of 15. And again, then we, when we factor in abortion becoming legal and factor in that statistic as well, we see an explosion of STDs and pregnancy. And then what happened to the American family after that? It started to fall apart.
Wow.
There's a direct correlation between that. And as you can see, what I was seeing in the 90s was true. It was getting worse. Go to the next slide. My oldest son serves in the U.S. Coast Guard. He's in a remote place in Alaska, and he just had our very first grandchild. With got married a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, and now we have our new grandchild. Of course, as a grandma, I have to get up to Alaska and see. And so in a flight, and of course, in a remote area, it takes several hours to get up there. So I was half awake. We've been flying all night. We're coming out of Seattle, and we finally come above the clouds, and I go, wow! I said, that has got to be a huge mountain. We're just seeing the tip of that mountain. That's got to be a huge mountain. Of course, it's Mount St. Helens is what I saw, but I was not awake enough to figure out what it was at first. That's what it's like with sex education. I started to want to know, what is the root? What is behind? What happened in 62, 63, 64? What have we always had sex ed? Who developed it? What was the intent behind sex education? So that's what this is like looking at. You're looking at a huge mountain. We're just giving you the tip. Yeah. And I now teach courses to pastors, biblical counselors, crisis pregnancy staff all over the world on that big mountain. So, go ahead. So let's look historically. Prior to 1948, sex knowledge was never important for kids, ever. If you look to the theorists, Piaget, Maslow, Skinner, you'll see that they looked at individual and group skills such as learning to reason, submitting to authority, moral thinking, task achievement, self-actualization, mutual cooperation, and social interaction were child's major developmental objectives. We never, ever thought of talking to kids about sex. Go to the next slide. Historically, and I bought a lot of antique books, too, because I want to know, what did they do back then? So I found a lot of books. There was one, How Should I Tell My Child? And it was written in 1912. Parents were the primary educators. And when they talked about God's life process, they talked about it in a very indirect, modest way. That's why you hear the flowers, the birds, and the bees. That's what they used to talk to their kids. Or if you were on the farm, of course, you saw the farm animals. But it was always in an indirect way. It was never done in a graphic, upfront way. Actually, if you look to the state laws, it was considered molesting a minor with immoral intent to even mention the word sexual intercourse in the classroom up to the age of 21.
Wow.
We've come a long way, baby, in such a short, short period of time. So, what changed all of this? What happened? I found a man by the name of Alfred Kinsey. He was a catalyst for the sex education that we now have in our schools today. Well, who was this guy? I had heard about him in nursing school. I had heard the phrase, children are sexual from birth. That came from this guy. He was a zoologist at Indiana University. He studied the sexual behavior of Galwas. The media portrayed him as a happily married man, but in actuality, with biographies that have come out from his own associates, he was a homosexual sadomasochist, and he advocated for all sexual rights. He believed infants should be able to have sex as well as the elderly, all through. He studied, he published his first, sex research, and he published his studies. In 1948, he did sexual behavior in the human male. This is in every university. This is in every library, as if it was gospel truth. But if you look closely at his data, for the male data, he went into the prisons, and he interviewed the most sexually deviant criminal, and he said, this is a typical sexual behavior of the American male. Mm. For the females, he went and interviewed prostitutes if they lived with a man for more than a year. He said this was a typical sexual behavior of the American married female. Now, for the child data, back it up for 1 second. For the children's data, I'll show that in the next slide, but it's important that you understand, he was the first one to say, children are sexual from birth, meaning infancy. Go to the next slide. And then click it again. The table should come up. Okay. So I said, okay, Lord, I know nothing about Kinsey. And the Lord said, okay, you want Kinsey? I'm going to give you the number one expert in the world. She has testified at the Supreme Court level, at House of Parliament. She's been all over the world, Dr. Judith Riesman. And she looked at this book as well. And in the book, I have it right here. It was very interesting carrying this around, trying to hide it. But the printer almost didn't print it because she looked at it horrified. What this is his childhood data. He documented how many orgasms does a child have in the 24-hour period of time. And if you look at the ages, we're starting at 5 months of age up through 14 years of age. So you're talking about children who have been raped. Wow. For a 24-hour period of time. That's the foundation of sex ed. That's the foundation of sex ed. Huge to understand that. And there's one poor child, a 4-year-old, who had 26 orgasms in a 24-hour period of time. So let's go to the next slide, because how did he describe that? Judith found herself on some interesting places. In 1990, she was on the Phil Donahue show, sitting next to Kinsey's associates. And Phil asked one of his associates about that data, and his associate Clarence Tripp said, "Oh no, he listened to only pedophiles who were very careful, used stopwatches, knew how to record their thing." Now, if you look in this book, how does Kinsey describe a child having an orgasm? Sobbing, sometimes with an abundance of tears, especially among younger children, afflicted with extreme trembling, collapse, and sometimes fainting. Kinsey wrote that the children enjoy the experience, though many fight away the partner, not the perpetrator, the partner.
Oh, gosh.
This is the foundation of sex education. Next slide. So, remember 62, 63, 64. What happened in the Supreme Court case, 1962, real quick?
Prayer removed.
Prayer removed from school. 1963, what happened?
Bible reading.
1964, this is by no accident, people. 1964, CEHAS, which was the Sex Information Education Council of the United States, which was the official beginning of sex education, was launched at the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. The objective was to teach Kinsey's ideology, because remember, children are sexual from birth, so we're going to teach them how to handle their sexuality. The first leader for CEHAS was Dr. Mary Calderon. Guess what? Who was she? She was the medical director of Planned Parenthood. You've heard that name a lot today. Then the initial seed money. Guess where that came from? Hugh Hefner gave the initial seed money with many people that were serving on the curriculum boards for sex education were employed by Penthouse Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, why would the largest abortion industry and pornography industry want to be at the heart of sex education for our children? Do they make money off of that?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, CEHAS leaders supported humanism, communism, and eugenics, and they promoted their ideas through sex education. The technique that they used was called SAR, or sexual attitude restructuring, which again, instead of the flower, the birds, and the bees, we're going to take them to the act and the genitals, and it's gone way beyond that. Next slide. So, we had to get all the sex, I had to go through training to be able to teach sex education in the schools. And the training had to be standardized. So everybody across the country has to have the same training in order to teach sex ed. So they had to have an organization to start to train. And that was the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. And it was created in 1967 to train everybody to be on the same page. And this is what their job was, to provide sex information to the sex educator, train him or her in the psychotherapy technique necessary to communicate this knowledge and to restructure his or her sexual values so to as equip him or her to expand their students' tolerance and acceptance of variant sexual practices and lifestyles. So, again, this was all set up. We've all been lied to and deceived. Next slide. When the late Alan Guttmacher, he was the signed on to the Humanist Manifesto. He was the Planned Parenthood president. And he was asked after Roe versus Wade, how can we make sure that that Supreme Court decision stays secure? He answered with two words, sex education. So, in summary, sex education was never designed to prevent STDs or pregnancy. It was designed to prepare children to have sex with each other and to have sex with adults. So when we look at that, we understand that at the core of sex education is a man who interviewed pedophiles who raped hundreds of children and sees no problem and thinks it's healthy for an infant to have sex with an adult. We have Planned Parenthood, which is the number one abortion industry in the world, and we have the pornography industry.
Wow.
So I am speaking to one of the planks that was passed at the Republican convention this last summer. So I'm asking for the whole enchilada. I'm asking for no sex education in the schools.
Wow, that's some disturbing stuff, to say the least.
I have to share with you, Chris, that was at the Capitol building in Austin, at Texas Capitol building. And in that hearing room, outside of our hearing room, we were the only hearing room that had police presence.
Wow.
Because Planned Parenthood had snuck inside, and they were tweeting live what we were sharing. And I love what they said about me. They said, new speaker wants to take us back to 1950. Gosh, let's look at that. Abortion was not legal. Pornography was not legal. Sex education was not legal. Gay marriage was not legal. I guess I do want to get us back there.
Yeah, praise God. Let's pray that would happen. But we're going to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to ask a question regarding this issue, regarding the sex education curriculum in America and its roots, and anything else related to this topic, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S, arnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I could readily understand a topic like this might evoke questions from people who have very intimate, personal, and private questions. So feel free to remain anonymous if that's the case. But if it's just a general question, please at least give us your first name, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back with our guest, Audrey Werner, right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by His life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than 90 minutes to go is Audrey Werner, and she is the founder of the Matthew 18 Group, a purity paradigm for our homes, churches, and nation. And we are discussing Alfred Kinsey, sexual deviant and architect of the sex education curriculum for America's children. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have Ted in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who writes, during the pre-recorded lecture, Your guest refers to a point in time where they took the restrictions off pornography, after which pornography really took off. What was this, or should I say, when was this, and what restrictions was she talking about? You know, that's an interesting question, because I remember years ago, perhaps in the 80s or 90s, watching the John Ankerberg program, and they were talking about the history of pornography, and I was shocked, because I had never known that in the early 20th century, acts of lesbianism and other acts of pornography were permitted in regular cinematography for general consumption by the public, and it was later on that these restrictions came into place. But if you could answer Ted more specifically.
Right. And again, this was something that I learned through a documentary that I saw about 10 years later. But what I was talking about was in the STD clinic in the mid-1990s, we saw an explosion of date rape scenarios. Women coming in who had been raped, been drugged, been raped on dates. And so I wondered, why was that happening in the mid-1990s? And it was about 10 years later that I saw a documentary on pornography, and they talked about during that time that during the Clinton administration, in the early 1990s, they had taken restrictions off the porn industry, so they were able to get out to other places. Now, obviously, today we have now even a bigger explosion with the Internet, which we didn't have in the early 1990s. So in regards to specifically what those restrictions were, I don't remember, but I do remember being an STD nurse and seeing, because in pornography, man is the predator and woman is the prey, and with easier access to pornography in the early 1990s, our young men were viewing that and were acting out definitely on what they were seeing. And as I mentioned in the speech at the Texas Capitol, I also talked about the fact that many states are now starting to say that the pornography is creating a public health crisis. There's a direct correlation between the rape of women and children and the amount of pornography that is out there. That's why there were restrictions, and that type of media was not easily accessible because they understood that it could be harmful to minors and it could be harmful to women.
Yeah, it's interesting how today, even on cable TV and sometimes on your regular broadcast channels on television, we can see things that would be considered soft porn years ago. Now they're just regular images that you see on TV, and it's just amazing the snowball that is rolling down the hill and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And even the language that you can hear on regular broadcast networks, the major networks, things that you never would have heard before, like George Carlin's old acts about the, I think it was the seven words you can't say on TV. That's just so outdated now. It's not even accurate anymore. But thank you, Ted, from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, for joining us with an excellent question. We have Sika Lee, who has that unusual name, Dutch-Canadian name, Sika Lee, from Panoka, Alberta, Canada. He says, thank you for talking on this topic. I think a lot of folks, including my wife and I, are at a bit of a loss as to what to do on this topic. What an eye-opening clip you played in the beginning. I'm up in Canada. Does Audrey ever do presentations up here? Or do you know of good resources up here? Also, I'm wondering what she thinks about how to talk to kids now, if you do. It seems now I'd want to cover this stuff with them to protect them, but at the same time, we wouldn't want to awake any sleeping dogs, so to speak. Seems you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. My kids are all 8 and under. God bless you both. Well, there's several issues, several topics.
Yes.
Some involve your ability to speak up in Canada, and resources in Canada, and also how do we speak to our young children, and he's talking about preteens here.
Yes, yes. You can go to my website, which is matthew18.org, and I do have resources on the website of good materials that you can use with your children.
By the way, do you spell that on the website URL with the Roman numerals like you did other places?
Yeah, I have actually you can either go to Matthew 18 as in 18.org, or you can do Roman numerals. 18.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then the other thing is that I also wrote a book for parents called 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex, which is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So that is not only exposing where sex ed came from and the direct graphic approach, but then giving examples of prior to Kinsey, prior to the sexual revolution, prior to sex ed, how did we approach the topic, which was the flowers, the birds, and the bees. So I give a lot of examples from antique books on that as well. And, of course, it's all about we need to go back to Scripture. I'll tell you, 20 years ago in the Lutheran school where I served on a sex ed curriculum review committee, looking at their sex ed program, some of the parents were actually didn't want that program in the school, and so they were holding meetings in their home. And so I had one of the books and for the second graders, and I gave the book. I would always pick a father, and I would give the book to a father, and I would have him, because in the book it describes sexual intercourse in detail, what goes into what and all of that. And so I said, could you read that passage to all of us? And, of course, he couldn't read that because, modesty's sake, that's very uncomfortable and it's pornographic. And I said, but understand, this is what we are doing with our children. And there's this huge discomfort that parents have in talking about sex with their kids. And there's a reason for that, because our children have something that's called moral innocence. They don't know contrary to what Kinsey is saying. Kinsey is saying they're sexual animals from birth, and we should help train them in that. But what God created children, and we have examples throughout Scripture of, the innocence of children and how much Jesus loved being around them. And we have this difficulty in talking to our kids about sex. And I once asked Judith Reisman, who's the expert that has trained me on Alfred Kinsey, and I had said to her, I said, Judith, why do parents have such a difficult time talking to their kids about sex? And she thought for a moment, and she said, Audrey, when you talk to kids about sex, you sexualize them to themselves, to adults, and to each other. Hence, that's why they have a difficulty talking about that. And I thought, well, of course. I think what's happening is when parents are really struggling with giving that information to their children, in essence, what they're doing is they're robbing their children of their moral innocence. They're taking it away from them. And I really believe that's the Holy Spirit inside of us going, warning, don't go down that path. And that's why we have this discomfort. Whereas, I'm encouraging parents to do what we used to do, which was using the flowers, the birds, and the bees, and using a very modest, indirect way about talking about God's life process. And in doing that, I've had many parents who have come up to me and said, wow, your book has really helped me. But it's not my words, it's God's words in the book that are helping them with that process. So, again, we can give information. We don't want our kids to be morally, we don't want them to be naive, but we want them to be moral innocent. And there is a way of doing that, and there is a way of raising pure kids, even in today's culture.
Thank you. Thank you, Sickle Lee. Continue listening to Iron Trip and Zion Radio up there in Canada and spreading the word in North America and beyond. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, I was just answering his other question of I've not been to Canada yet. I've been to Montana. I haven't been, I have been to Canada personally. I've been to Banff, Alberta, Canada. But I would love to go up to that area and speak. And also, I am a part of a group that is actually an international group called Protect Child Health Coalition. And there's a website for that as well. Just type in Protect Child Health Coalition. And we do have people up in Canada that are battling sex education. And I think the thing that's really important because when I found out all of this many years ago, I thought, okay, Lord, what can I do? I'm just a mom. And it's just been a matter of trusting God and praying and looking to Him for guidance and Him opening the doors for me. So I know for this gentleman in Canada, I know that God can use you. It's just a matter of praying and waiting upon the Lord, and He will direct you on what you can be doing in your country to make a difference.
Great. And I want to go over a couple of the primary things that you addressed in your lecture in Austin, Texas. It was Austin, correct?
Yes, yeah. Our capital is in Austin.
Yeah. First of all, it seems somewhat strange that those that are leftists and considered a part of the sexually progressive movement, sexually liberal movement, et cetera, why they would want to change a sexually transmitted disease acronym, STD, to an STI, sexually transmitted infection. It seems suicidal. Like, for instance, I'm sure that many people who were rescued in time before their death with the modern medicine that we have that has enabled to prolong the lives of AIDS patients, I'm sure that they would not want, or should I say, they're glad, I'm assuming, that there was no candy-coated way of expressing this crisis in America, this very deadly disease. Although I know that they definitely blurred the uniqueness of this disease amongst the homosexual community, even though I know that, especially today, this is rampant crossing sexual proclivities. You know, you have heterosexuals and so on with this disease, and especially in Africa. But why on earth do people want a sexually transmitted disease to be referred to as an infection?
It's not just those words. It's other words that have been changed. And I like what Eunice Ray said to me once. She said, Audrey, she said, when we soften the words, we soften the sin. And if you think about it, we don't say fornication in the church. you know, it's now everybody's living together. You wouldn't even bring up the word fornication because that's just too condemning. You wouldn't say sodomy. Today it's called homosexuality, but actually the Supreme Court, it's defined as oral sex and anal sex, which I can tell you a whole host of Christian books that endorse it in Christian marriages. And Colonel Ray said that's why we lost the sodomy case, Lawrence versus Texas, in 2003, wasn't because of the gay people who wanted sodomy legal, but the Christian couples who said, no, we can commit that, but you gay people can't. We are softening the words because that softens the sin. So that's just another example of that.
And we have to go back, unfortunately. I think that we should go back to be a little bit more clear on the monster that Alfred Kinsey was. I'm assuming what you were discussing about the numbers and the details and the data that he developed in regard to young children, even prepubescent children, and orgasms, was because either he or one of his staff members were literally having some kind of sexual contact with these babies and young children.
Yes, his data, he relied upon a man by the name of Rex King, who had raped over 900 children. I believe he lived in the Arizona area. There was another gentleman, a Nazi, and his name is escaping me, over in the Nazi camps during World War II, who was raping children and sending that, raping the Jewish children or else they went to the furnaces. The monster and the evil is very, very deep.
So in other words, you're talking about these were pedophiles raping children before the experiments, that he actually made use of them because of their proclivity, because of their sickening evil.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Wow. That is very nightmarish. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, did you ever see the autobiographical, actually this is, should be biographical movie about Alfred Kinsey starring Liam Neeson? I was wondering if it was accurate.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I served on, when that movie was going to come out, Judith Reisman had written the director and written Liam Neeson and said, please don't do this. I'll tell you why I think that movie came out. And no, that movie was not accurate because it did kind of lionize him as being a pioneer didn't really show the evil, didn't show anything about the pedophile part of his data.
Just described it as the verbal recollections of prisoners who were pedophiles, from what I remember. There was no, what you talked about, having actual pedophiles involved in sexual manipulation of babies and children, that was not in there.
No. It created sympathy for him. And I will tell you, there is something accurate that you can watch on, that's called Kinsey's Pedophiles. And that was a documentary that was done by, Yorkshire Television, and it has been banned from the U.S. airwaves. That would be much more accurate. You can find it on YouTube, and I think they spell pedophiles different than we do, but you can just type that in, and it'll come up, and it's several clips because obviously it's a lengthy documentary. But getting back to the movie, I did serve on a committee that focused on the family development because they were concerned that that movie was going to come out and create a lot of lies. Now, the good thing was the movie was kind of a flop and not a lot of people saw it. But I will tell you, that movie came out in 2004. And now remember what I said, RSVP America had a campaign where they were exposing the lies behind Kinsey and Kinsey's science, and they had proven that a lot of the laws in the sex offense section, they looked in 35 out of 50 states, and they found that Kinsey's science had been used to justify the legalization of abortion, homosexuality, or sodomy, and all of these other things. So anyway, when I went to my first training at RSVP America was in 2001, and I'll tell you, in this training there were 20, 25 people maybe, and there were some women from Concerned Women for America. There was Family Research Council, a couple of, you know, well-known organizations, but not a lot of people there. And I walked out of there, and I thought, oh, my gosh, like the world needs to know about this, Eunice, and this is huge. Now, what those 25 people did was enough to make Hollywood nervous, because then they had to come out with a film with more propaganda, because who really knew who Kinsey was? There was no need to do a film on Kinsey. He's like the best-kept secret. But again, because of the truth that RSVP America and the people they had trained of getting that information out there, Hollywood got nervous, and that's why Kinsey's movie was, that's my take on why Kinsey's movie was made, was to put more propaganda out there.
Yeah, I did see the movie because I knew that I would eventually be talking about it on this program, and the most unflattering aspect of Kinsey that they revealed in this film is that he was an out of control sexual individual who was constantly being unfaithful to his wife, both with men and women. And that seemed to be the most unflattering aspect of him, not really the research he was doing.
Exactly. But see, he actually required that of all of his workers. You had to be amoral. It was required that you had
That was even in the film.
Each other's lives. Yeah. That was a requirement.
But his wife did not appreciate it, though, in the movie, anyway.
Well, yeah. In the movie, it looks like the wife didn't appreciate it, but there's some pictures of her. I've seen pictures of her smiling. She was an active participant.
Oh, really? Okay, so that part of it was fictitious then.
Yes, again, because we're trying to make it look like a happy family, normal people, and these are not normal people.
Right. We're going to our midway break right now. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program, needs to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, so they use this time to air their own local public service announcements and commercials. So please take this time and use it wisely by listening to our commercials that we play and writing down the information provided by our advertisers, because that will enable you to more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers, which will likely lengthen the period of time that our advertisers continue sponsoring the show. And we rely upon their advertising dollars to exist. So please help our advertisers have a longer life by patronizing them, which will enable Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, God willing, to have a longer life. And also take this time to write down questions for our guest, Audrey Werner, at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. If you want to remain anonymous, please only do so if the question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this station break with more of Audrey Werner and our discussion on Alfred Kinsey, sexual deviant and architect of the sex education curriculum for America's children.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available.
All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Thrive and Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can get the Basics of the Faith booklets from cvbbs.com at half price during a sale they're currently running. Please mention Chris Arnson at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to get the Basics of the Faith booklets at half price. And each booklet explains a fundamental aspect of the faith. And if you prefer calling cvbbs.com rather than ordering online. They do have a toll-free number that you can call Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time when that phone line is manned. 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. And please always remember to say that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you're ordering online, the only way that you could do that is by clicking instructions after you place your order. Then you could put in the instructions, I heard about CVBBS from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I urge you to please try to order as much as you can from CVBBS.com because they are going through some very seriously depressing financial times right now. They're in a bit of a rut, so please order more than you normally might. And if you've never ordered from them before, please place a big order to help them get back on their feet. Also, you may recall in the ad previous to the CVBBS ad, we heard the ad from Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com. Well, you can order Solid Ground Christian Books titles from CVBBS, and you will help both of my sponsors at the same time. Solid Ground Christian Books will not be harmed if you order their titles from CVBBS. So I urge you to go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Make a very long list of books that you want to order from them that they publish, and then go to cvbbs.com and order them. That way, as I said, you can help both of our sponsors in that way. I also want to remind you that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in urgent need of your financial support. We are rapidly approaching a very dismal time of finances ourselves. So if you really love the show, you want it to remain on the air, you look forward to the guests and the topics that we air that sometimes are never heard anywhere else, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer mailing in checks the old-fashioned way, there will be an address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com where you can mail a check via snail mail made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please always remember, I never want any of my listeners to take money away from the regular giving to your local church that you're accustomed to in order to support my radio program. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God and must take priority in your budgetary spreading out of your funds, obviously. And so therefore, if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and only if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if indeed you love the show and don't want it to go away. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And also, if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. And I'm so delighted that we have new sponsors that have come to the rescue and helped Iron Sharpens Iron Radio further ensure our longevity because of their financial support. One in particular that you've been hearing lately is citizenpriest.com. Citizen Priest is a reformed ministry and business that has a long line of t-shirts and other types of novelty wear that all are scripturally based, and perhaps our guest Audrey Werner will be happy to know that they even carry Lutheran t-shirts and caps and other things, in addition to Reformed, Reformed Baptist, Presbyterian, and other t-shirts that are Christian in nature. So please remember to go to citizenpriest.com, citizenpriest.com, for all of your t-shirt needs, because you're going to be helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio live a longer life on the airwaves. Now we are back with our guest Audrey Werner on our discussion of Alfred Kinsey, sexual deviant and architect of the sex education curriculum for America's children. Our email address, if you have any questions, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the USA, and only remain anonymous if the question involves a personal and private matter. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who asks, how do you respond to the person that may agree with you that what Alfred Kinsey does was horrific, evil, satanic, disgusting, and any other adjectives that describe something from the pit of hell that you can conjure up? But at the same time, when you look at the fact that the damage is already done, can we make use of any of the data that he developed through these horrific experiments? Now, and I'm not saying that this listener is advocating that. The listener is just...
Is he saying you could still salvage some of the data?
How do you respond to somebody who is saying that? That's basically what the listener is saying.
Okay. I come from the field of science, and, when you're doing an experiment, you can't throw out certain data, or you can't go and search out certain data if you're trying to, find out what would be good results. And Kinsey's data, none of it was a really legitimate. He did his sex studies in the 1930s and 40s, and, I always ask my audiences, where were the American men in the 1930s, early 40s? Well, they were over there. They were in the war. And this data wasn't collected to do a scientific experiment. This data was to prove his agenda. So, of course, as I said, he went to the prisons and sought out the sexually deviant criminals and said, this is the typical sexual behavior of the men. In his women's data, when he interviewed women, he said a majority of American women back then were getting those backstreet abortions and were getting pregnant. But again, we would have, statistic-wise, we would have seen that. We would have seen a higher birth rate. We would have seen STD rates. If people were as promiscuous as Kinsey said back then the STD rates should have reflected that, and they did not. So I wouldn't advocate even using any of his science because it isn't science. As a matter of fact, I always put quotations around it because it's not true science. It was a man who had an agenda. Was being used. He's not the only monster in this. There were several culprits that were involved, but he was a tool that was used to promote sexual chaos in our country. And where are we today? Exactly where they want us to be.
Now, are there leftists in political places of power that are openly using Kinsey's material by name, and what excuses are they using when the history is quite clear of his illegal and evil activities? Even your average left-wing individual is against pedophilia. What is the case with liberals in this information, which you're making the case that this is the root of the modern American sex education curriculum? So therefore, there's obviously a connection, at least in your studies. So what do the liberals say about this, at least, in majority?
Well, Kinsey's science has been used for years. In 1923, the American Law Institute was founded by the Rockefeller Institute, and the purpose of the Law Institute was to eliminate 52 Bible-based laws that once protected marriage, women, and children. And they needed a tool to be able to do that, and when Kinsey's science came along, that was what they used. So if you look at the model penal code in the state sex offense sections, you will find Kinsey is quoted directly, and his statistics are quoted as the reason why, for example, we have the pedophiles on the streets. It used to be if you raped a child, you were either put away in prison forever or you were put to death. Those were pretty strong deterrents. But again, because Kinsey has said that really isn't harmful to children, then, you know, we're just going to therapeutically manage these pedophiles and we'll put them back out on the streets, and that's why you can go on your local, you know, website to find out where is a sexual predator in your area. And most of the time you're going to find them in your neighborhood, so all over. So his science has been quoted across the board. It isn't in just the liberal left. And as I gave you the example in 1967, you know, the Lutheran sex ed program was quoting him. So again, he's the best kept secret. And Judith at one point met with the late Justice Scalia to share how Kinsey science had been used to change the laws in our country. And he said, instead of us trying to make up new laws to protect what we're losing, he said if the old laws, which were our old laws were based on the Old and New Testament, and were thrown out for this mild penal code based on Kinsey's science. So what he said is we need to restore the old laws and make them honorable again. So, and I like that idea. Because, again, what we have, the whole field of sex education is based on fraud. The whole field of human sexuality is based on fraud. So we need to get back to good science. We need to get back to good information.
That's right. So whenever you hear my guest, Audrey Werner, use the phrase Kinsey's science, you have to visualize her using air quotes around science.
Yes, exactly.
And just insert in there bad science or false science or fake science. Let's see. We have another listener, and it happens to be the very listener I mentioned in the beginning of the program from Plano, Texas, Maggie Conley, who is the reason why we're interviewing Audrey Werner today. She introduced me via the internet, that is, Audrey, and shared with me the video, which you heard in the beginning. You heard the audio of that video where Audrey was giving a lecture on the very subject we're talking about to the legislative briefing for the state of Texas, where Republican state representatives and their staff were present. But Maggie in Plano, Texas says, excellent show. Thank you both so much. Audrey, what age do you recommend generally is the best age to talk to a child about sex? Or is it different with each child based upon when they reach the age of maturation and their hormones are clearly in play?
Okay. And thank you to Maggie. I'll see you in Bible study. We go to Bible study together. I will actually see her.
Oh, wow. You're really close friends.
Yes, we are. The phrase that you hear sex educators say, or those that are pushing sex ed in the classroom, is age-appropriate, medically accurate. Now, keep in mind that Planned Parenthood, Kinsey, and the porn industry are the ones who developed those standards. So, again, going back to what did we used to do with children, and the beauty was that each parent was responsible for that. And what's wonderful about that is each parent knows their child and knows what they could handle and what they can't handle. So it really should go back to the parents and come out of the schools. And I'll even say sometimes youth directors in churches can be the worst culprits of sexualizing kids, too. But it needs to go back to the parents. And I'll give you the example. With our children, we talked about the flower when they were about three or four years old. We talked about the flower. We went on a walk in a field and found a flower and said, isn't this wonderful? Look at, you know, God's life process. You know, there's a mommy part and a daddy part in this flower, and they get together, and a baby flower is formed, and it falls out, and that's how it was with you, but there was a doctor that caught you. Something very simple for them. And then as children become curious, then you can build upon that information. And to be honest with you, I have three boys and one girl, and my daughter, who is now 23, years old. We've never sat down and had the graphic talk, but she knows, you know, because she's not one of my curious kids, but she knows what it is. Again, you can do it in a very modest, indirect way. But whenever you, when you start to give that and you're, this graphic information and you're uncomfortable and the kid is squirming and they're saying, ooh, yuck, and, you know, that's not God-pleasing. And that's when we're taking away their moral innocence. So it's really important that, A, you know your child, and B, we need to be looking at kids through Jesus' eyes and not through Kinsey's eyes. So we need to be protecting their moral innocence. And I will tell you that their moral innocence will actually protect them in some cases. And I'll give you the example. We never showed graphic pictures of the genital area to our kid. We called it private parts. We didn't call them by the names, because why do we always teach them that part of the body, but we don't teach them any other part of the body? When the world has completely contorted and perverted the use of that part of the body. So we use private parts, but when we didn't show graphic pictures. My husband was driving the kids home, and my oldest son, who's now in the military, he was 12 years old, and he happened to say, "Dad, look, there's a naked woman," to which my husband thought there was a naked woman in traffic, and I looked around and saw there was a Jeep full of teen boys who had a Playboy centerfold. They had opened it up, put it to their window, and so my husband right away said, "Kids, look away. That's not appropriate," which is a huge statement for Dad to say. And then as they drove away, my 12-year-old son said, "Dad, she wasn't naked. She had on black underpants." Because, you see, he had never seen a naked woman. So his moral innocence actually protected him from what he had been exposed to. So we don't want to take away that moral innocence that God gave children. We want to protect it for as long as possible.
Wow. By the way, thank you, Maggie, for your excellent question. And I believe you are a first-time questioner on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, even though you've listened to the program for years. And since you're a first-time questioner, you will receive a free New American Standard Bible. So please make sure we have your full mailing address in Plano, Texas, so cvbbs.com can ship that New American Standard Bible out to you. We have Thomas from Guelph, Ontario, Canada. And I'm sorry, Thomas, if I'm butchering the pronunciation of that city, Guelph, G-U-E-L-P-H. I've never seen that before. What does your guest think of the acronyms coming out to soften pedophilia, MAPS and no MAPS, minor attraction person, and non-offending minor attracted persons? Thanks for what you do from Canada. And I've never heard of those acronyms. Can you respond to that?
Yes, I have heard of those acronyms. And definitely, it's just, you know, this is the moral decline that we're seeing. And it is just part of, there's one curricula that someone sent me from Chicago, and it's a picture of a man with his arm around a boy. And the curricula is to help teachers help, and it does say the ages in here, ages 10 to 17. It's to help if a teacher finds that a 10-year-old's having a sexual relationship with an adult. This curricula is to help teachers and counselors in the school to help the child decide if it's a healthy relationship for them or not. So this is the trend of sex education. And in essence, what I said in Austin, Texas to the legislators was, sex education was never designed. We always hear the lie out there that, oh my gosh, the pregnancy rate is really high. The STD rates, actually in America, the STD rates for teens is the highest it's ever been since we've recorded it. And that's directly related to sex education, which you couldn't see the graphs that I was showing to the legislature, that sex education was designed to sexualize kids, to prepare kids to have sex with each other and with adults. And that's the core of this. So that, again, if we can take out sex education, you are removing Planned Parenthood, you are removing the pornography industry, and you are removing LGBTQ from our children. So why wouldn't everybody in the world, because I know every country is dealing with this, why wouldn't we take sex education back out of these schools? Because it used to be considered molesting a minor with immoral intent up to the age of 21 to even mention the word sexual intercourse in a classroom. That's how we used to protect our kids. And we have given that right up, and we need to take it back.
Now, when Thomas in Guelph, Ontario, Canada, and perhaps Thomas can send in a second email to let me know if I'm butchering the pronunciation. Who is using these acronyms, MAPS and no MAPS? Is that in school curriculum for sex education?
Yes, you have seen it, and that is some of the law reviews are talking about that. So, again, we're changing the wording, because remember I said it softens the sin. So it's being introduced and being normalized. I've heard that wording before.
Well, thank you so much, Thomas. Unfortunately, we can't mail you a Bible, even though you're a first-time questioner, because CVBBS.com only ships out to listeners in the 50 states of these United States of America. But if you have a friend, a loved one, family member who lives in the United States, who we could ship this to on your behalf, either as a gift to them or perhaps if they want to mail it to you, just send us the name and mailing address of somebody here in the United States who will be willing to ship that out to you or who you want to bless with the Bible. And we have to go to our final break right now. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is Chris Arnzen. By the way, Thomas said that I nailed the pronunciation. He just sent me another email. So Guelph is right. If you want to join us on the air before we run out of time, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, city and state and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the conclusion of our interview with Audrey Werner and more about the sex deviant Alfred Kinsey.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 394. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
And please pray for Joe Jackowitz, who is the founder of First Love Radio. He is in Kenya, Africa, on a missions trip, and apparently there was some difficulty rising up from local Muslims who were not very happy about what Joe and First Love Radio and First Love Missions were involved in over there in Kenya. So just keep them in your prayers, and we will keep you updated on that, especially when Joe, God willing, will return safely home, and we can perhaps have him on the program again to give a report. We are now entering into our final 15 minutes or so of our program today with Audrey Werner, and we are discussing Alfred Kinsey, Sexual Deviant and Architect of the Sex Education Curriculum for America's Children. If you'd like to join us on the air, I would strongly advise that you do so now because we're rapidly running out of time, and our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's see here. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who asked the question, I may have missed what you said about the Missouri Synod Lutherans utilizing Kinsey's garbage in some of their curriculum, but have they purged his nonsense out of their curriculum since you had met and spoken with some of those in decision-making roles?
They have changed a little bit of the curricula. They actually had Kinsey's statement, children are sexual from birth, with some pedophile information in the parent book. And since I did meet with the Lutheran Publishing Company, a representative from there at the Lutherans for Life headquarters, and the president of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, actually four presidents have been aware of what I've been doing. But the curricula itself and its foundation and approach is Kinsey-based. So it would mean them pulling the entire curricula, and my my request has been that they develop a curricula for teaching our children purity, chastity, modesty, self-control, and that's not happened yet. So still praying on that one, but it's one of their biggest money makers, so that would be huge. But they have been aware since I gave them the information on October 31st of 2001, so they have had that information since then, and they are aware that Kinsey is in the foundation of their sex ed program.
I'm assuming, because I've interviewed a number of Missouri Synod Lutheran authors and pastors, I'm assuming there must be some level of outrage by some of these men and women who I have come to know, who are very biblically astute and scripturally faithful. Obviously, we have disagreements over theological points, but I consider them my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I would think that, you know, some of these men and women would be outraged by this and trying to put a final halt to any of this stuff being involved.
Right, and I think there is, you know, I have a friend whose husband works at one of the seminaries, and some of the younger seminarians are coming up saying that they're questioning, and they know that this series is bad. And the problem is the current series has no bibliography. The only edition that had a bibliography was the original series, which was written in the late 1960s. And also the problem is that many of the Christian curricula that has been written since then have patterned themselves from the Lutheran churches, because they were the first one. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was the first one to develop a Christian sex ed program. So, you know, my point is, you know, when we go back to Scripture, a little leaven, you know, corrupts the whole loaf. And so even a little Kinsey in there can be devastating and very harmful to children. So my plea has been through the years, has been that they need to pull this curricula, and they need to develop a purity curricula based on God's Word and God's Word alone.
Amen. And you believe that sex education should be totally absent from schools, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Even parochial schools that may be a part of a biblically solid denomination.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I just had a friend in the churches, too, in Sunday school and in the youth groups. And I've had some pastors who have reached out to me and said, hey, this is, I have a whole day on sexuality, but I'm covering purity and this is what I do. But there's parts in it that I'm like, oh, but there's this, you know. So I'm trying to again, get back to Scripture and how we approach kids. And again, we've got to, and we were born into the sexual revolution, so we really know no different. We've all been raised with Kinsey's science. It's touched us in every area. Whether you were a teacher, whether you were a lawyer, whether you are in medicine, you have been trained, and in the church as well, you've been trained in Kinsey science. So it's a matter of us, you know, the Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people, not the people over there who don't know me, you know, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is part of that. We have got to gut and remove anything that is based on Kinsey, and we have got to get back to biblical teaching.
And let's see, we have an anonymous listener who wants to know, can parents say too little to their children about sex?
Well, I did say earlier in the program, you don't want parents to raise up kids that are morally naive. You don't want to use the stork. You don't want to say nothing. You do need to talk about God's life process with your kids so they have that foundation. And then as they have questions, they will come back to you. And I'll give you an example of my one son in second grade. I stuck my head in the bathroom. He was in the bathtub. I said, you know, hey, how you doing? You okay? And he's like, yeah. And he had a question, you know. He had heard something graphic from one of the kids at church, and it had to do with the act. And we call it the marital act, by the way, which means only one thing, because sex could mean anything. And so he asked that question, and I said, you know, I said, do you remember when we talked about the flower? And he said, yeah. And I said, you know, that is such a holy, precious gift between a husband and a wife. Do you know that God doesn't even talk about it in the Bible? He doesn't even talk about it in detail at all. And he said, really? He said, oh, okay. And that's all he needed at that point. So, again, when they ask us questions, one of the things I say in my book is we need to ask them more questions first. Because sometimes where did I come from could mean, what city was I born in. So, don't feel like we have to give all this graphic sexual information, because, again, I know where that came from. And prior to Kinsey, that's not what we did with kids. We did it in a very modest, indirect way. So short of not telling anything, that would not be a good thing to do. But we do want to make sure that we maintain their innocence, but we make sure that they're not naive.
Yes, and as far as the Bible not giving graphic images about sex, obviously the scriptures do mention and discuss sexual activity. They just the pages of scripture are absent from... Right.
Yeah.
Even some deviant, very satanic sexual activity is mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who wants to know, is the modern sex education curriculum mentioning anything that approves of abortion?
Is he talking about the Lutheran sector, or
I think he was just being in general about
the
in public schools and perhaps even parochial schools.
Yes. Again, I would encourage you to go to the website Protect Child Health Coalition, because on that website we actually have there's examples of curricula that is in the schools. And there is curricula for fourth graders that's teaching them how to have safe anal sex. We have in the preschool we are now teaching children that they don't have, if they're a boy, they don't have to be a boy. They can be a girl if they want to be. So again, it's horrific what is going on with our kids. The push for sexual deviancy and teaching children every single sexual deviant act has really come forward. And I'll tell you, Planned Parenthood and LGBTQ are heavily pouring into the schools right now. And they are coming through not just the schools, but the libraries as well. If you just go look at the sexuality section, or if you just go to the young readers' novels for the junior high kids, you're going to find a lot of sexual content in these books. So the kids are being bombarded right now with sexual materials everywhere.
Wow. Well, I would like you to have 3 uninterrupted minutes to summarize what you most want etched on the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Okay. my ministry and my mission and vision is that we become awakened. My prayer has been, Lord, take away the blinders so that we in the church see evil for what it is. And I think part of what we've seen just in the last couple of weeks with the infanticide issue. But again, the question goes back to, are we open to new life? We have to go back to the teachings. And this ministry, what I have found is that there are 3 areas where the church has come into error based on relying upon Alfred Kinsey, Margaret Sanger, and the pornography industry. And those 3 areas include that we forgot that God values the moral innocence of children. So we as parents are called upon to be the primary educators for our kids, and we need to make sure that we're protecting their moral innocence, but then providing them with good information. Secondly, God values all life. I found that, again, in the church teachings, it wasn't just the Catholic Church. All churches were against birth control before. And some of the birth control that we use in the church are abortifacient. So we're on that slippery slope. And then the third area is that God desires the marriage bed to be pure and undefiled. What we do behind closed doors matters. It matters to God, and it matters to your marriage, and it matters to our nation. So I am all about encouraging the church to get back to God's Word, turn from Kinsey's teachings, and I'm praying for that revival to come across the land. But we need to don't just take my word for it. You need to do the due diligence, do the research, look at the bibliography of the Christian books that you're reading. Who are these people, and why are they endorsing certain things? So big thing right now is sex education is the pillar to the sexual revolution. In order for the sexual revolution to continue, they need our children. And the way they get to our children is through sex education. So now more than ever, it is more important that we are raising a pure, godly generation for the Lord. And we can do that. But we are going to have to be more diligent in protecting our kids, and we have to get back to using God's word and God's word alone to educate our kids.
Amen.
That's it.
And Audrey, I would like to have you back on the program as soon as possible to discuss your book, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. So if you could hang on the line, and we'll set that up after I go off the air. I want to thank everybody for listening today, especially those who took the time to write. Remember, go to Matthew18.org to find out more about Audrey Werner, our guest. Matthew18.org. Matthew18.org. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guests the next time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.